You'll be able to listen to God's word from Brother Ian Robson.
I want to share with you this thing that's very blessed. And that we can just take for granted. And I believe that many of us miss out on what our actual calling is. I want you to look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14 is one of those rare intimate moments, and words that Jesus said. And there's so much here that I believe that could warm our hearts to see really what God has for you and for me. Not just to forgive us our sins and give us a ticket to heaven. There's so much more under the new covenant that you and I can come into. And John chapter 14 is one of those intimate moments that Jesus had with his disciples. You know, in the title of the chapter, if you've got titles in here, they said Jesus comforts his disciples. It's more than verse 1. Jesus said, "Do not be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him." We stop there for a moment. And this is what Jesus is conveying to his disciples. And that's what I want to share with us this morning. That our calling is to know God as our Father. That's our calling. Not just to know Jesus as a Savior who's forgiven us our sins and who has given us His life, and that we can partake of His virtues and partake of His nature, but our calling as we live on this earth is to really know God, the God Almighty, God of this universe, Father. We cannot know the Father unless we know the way. That's the first thing that we see in John chapter 14. To know the Father, we must know the way. And Jesus said to Thomas, you know, Thomas, in answer to his question, "We don't know where you're going. How do we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes through me." And so, when we come to a place where we have repented of our sins, surrendered our life to Jesus, we must set our feet in the way. And the way is to know God as our Father. Not just that, you know, I have a mansion in heaven. And like Jesus said, that my Father's house are many dwelling places. And that's not all that we are looking for. And that He has gone to prepare a place for us. And that He'll come back to receive us to Himself, that we would be with Him forever. The thing is, in our life on this earth, we have to know God as our Father, not mentally, but in our hearts, in experience. And we have to begin by knowing the way. And Jesus said, "I am the way." So I have to come to Jesus if I am to know the Father. No one, He says, no one comes to the Father but through me. And we can know God as our Father, not through the Bible. The Bible is Jesus. Things not through the church, it is through Jesus. And that's something that, you know, first of all, I must recognize that if I really know and experience God as my Father, I have to come into the way. And Jesus is the way. And we need to ask ourselves this morning, are we sitting in the church without knowing the Father? It's like the son of a millionaire, you know, who sits in a palace enjoying all the privileges that he has and having a wonderful life and all the blessings that his father has prepared for him, but without caring to know the owner who happens to be his father. We enjoy all the blessings of being in the church, all the blessings of salvation, the blessing of being forgiven, and yet not know God as our Father. You know that, my brothers and sisters, that is possible. And I'm afraid that that is true of many of us here. And we seek to live an overcoming life. We seek to have to come into a life of victory over sin. We seek to serve. We are willing to sacrifice. But I want to ask you this morning, are you sitting in the church without knowing that you've got a Father who cares for you? I thank God that God opened my eyes a long time back to see this. I have a Father in heaven. And whatever our experience on this earth, a good father or a bad father, you can ever have on this earth is our Heavenly Father. That's why Jesus taught his disciples to pray. When you pray, say, "Our Father who art in heaven." And that's something that I must see is my calling. That God wants me to know Him as my Father. How is it in your life, my brothers and sisters? Do you know God as a Father? You say, "I know Jesus as a Savior. I gave my life to Him and many, many good things. You sacrifice, you serve, you do a lot for the church." But do you have that relationship with the Father through Jesus? And if I am to experience that, I have to come into the way. Jesus says, "I am the way." Church is not the way. The Bible is not the way. I am the way, the truth and the life. The son, when he went away from his home and from his father, he knew the way back. When he came to his senses, he knew the way back to his father. He knew that there was a father waiting for him. Not to scold him and to punish him and to make him and to condemn him, but the Father was willing to welcome him. Some here in the morning, this morning we've gone astray. Do you know the way back? Do you know that there's a Father waiting for you? The way which leads to the Father. Jesus says, no one means no one comes to the Father but through me. So if you want us to come back, not through fasting, not through prayer, not through any of these things, it is through Jesus. And that's the first thing that we need to see. That if I am to know God as my Father, I have to come to Jesus. And the other thing I want you to see there, that to know Jesus is to know the Father. To have a personal, know Jesus, to have a personal encounter with Him. And that word know in the original is a man has with a woman. You know, the word, the original, I don't know Greek or Hebrew, but the word there is that the physical, intimate relationship that a man has with a woman. And when we read that word, know, that's what it means, that God wants to have not a physical, but just like a man and a woman have a physical relationship, the most intimate relationship, that spiritually, that we can have a relationship with Jesus, that I can have a relationship with the Father, that is more, million times more intimate. And that's the closest that we can have. Known me, verse 7, John chapter 14. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know Him and have seen Him. If you had known me, not know about me. Many people know about Jesus. Many people know about God as a Father. You can know that God is a Father. You can know it in your mind. But the word there, that intimate union and relationship that God seeks for each one whom he has brought into his family. A million times more, like I said, than the best father that ever lived on this earth. That's the relationship that God wants to have with you and me, my brothers and sisters. And Jesus said, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. So to know Jesus is to know the Father. And to know Jesus is not just, you know, knowing the Bible, knowing the scriptures. You may know the scriptures, know the doctrine. You can teach and preach it to others. You can know about him. But to know him, to have a personal encounter, and I feel that is so much needed among many of us here this morning. A personal encounter, a personal relationship. I'll never get discouraged. I'll never feel condemned. I'll never take myself on a guilt trip if I have that personal encounter. And I want to ask you this morning, have you had that personal encounter with Jesus? Do you have a personal relationship with him? Or do you know about him? And you know the Bible. And many good things. And it's good in your life. But do you know him? Do you have that intimate relationship with him? Because Jesus said, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you would have known him and have seen him. Philip said to him, verse 8, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? In me, the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise believe, because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And that's what Jesus said to Philip. Have you been so long with me, Philip? And yet you don't know. You don't know me. You don't know the Father. And is that something that Jesus has to ask each one of us this morning? You've been so long with me. And you don't know me, you don't know my Father. That would be a great pity if we pass our life on this earth knowing that my sins have been forgiven. I'm genuinely born again. I'm part of God's family, but I don't know God as a Father. I believe that's the saddest thing that can ever happen. And that's the worst tragedy, that I depart from this life without even knowing that I had a Father who cared for me when I lived on this earth. And I want you to see, my brothers and sisters, that our calling is to know God as our Father. And to know him, we are to know Jesus. We are to have a personal encounter, not once in our lifetime remember a day or date, whether you remember a day or a date, or whatever experience you have had, but a personal encounter, a personal relationship that I can have with him every day, 24/7. I get up in the night and whatever thoughts may bother me, whatever it is, whether I am in pain or anything, I know I have a Father who cares, whose eyes are on me, like we heard at the beginning of this year, whose eyes are on my life, this life that he has put into me from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, 24/7, in sickness, in trouble, in difficulty, in trials, and even that he's there for me. And I want you to go this morning from here knowing this. If you have never thought of this before, read John chapter 14. It's the most intimate words that Jesus speaks. This is to his disciples. And this is for you and me, that God wants to know him as a Father. To know him, to see him as a Father, to know Jesus. That's what he says there. Have I been so long with you, yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Have you seen Jesus? I'm not saying that you've got to see him in your room, you have some experience, but to see him, to know he's real, he's not virtual reality. That's what he says, I am the way, the truth, I am reality. Not virtual reality. You can touch me, you can see me. Not physically, not in my senses, but spiritually. He who has seen me has seen the Father. You've been so long with me, Philip, and you don't know me? How can you say, sure, it's the Father? Does God have to ask you and me that? You've been so long here. You've heard the best preaching, heard powerful words. You've been so long. You know all about me, but you don't know me. You know, Jesus said that he has to say to some people on that day, I never knew you. Depart from me. Sad words to them. I never knew you. We never had that intimate relationship. I want to say to you this morning that you can know him. You can have this intimate relationship with him. You know, in John testified to this in 1 John chapter 1. Let me read that to you from the Message Bible. So 1 John chapter 1. It says from the very first day, verse 1. 1 John 1 and verse 3. From the very first day we were there taking it all in. We heard it with our own ears. You got it? I'm reading from the Message. This is what was there. The version we all have. What was from the beginning. What we have heard. What we have seen with our eyes. What we have looked at and touched with our hands. Concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested. And we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. And in John chapter 17, Jesus said, this is no God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. And in the Message, the very first day we were there taking it all in, we heard it with our own ears, with our own. Our eyes, we saw it happen, and now we're telling you in most sober prose that what we witnessed was incredibly this: the infinite life of God Himself took shape before us. We saw it, we heard it, and now we're telling you so that you can experience it. Listen to this: that you can your joy will double our joy. Not something we admire. You know, I can be taken up. Yeah, God is. But John says, we want you to experience this too. This is for us too. You can also touch and handle it. That we can with one another, as we grow in the image of our Father, that we can touch and handle. And that is what is fellowship, my brothers and sisters. That's what John speaks about. Our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. This intimate communion, this intimate relationship that I know that I have a Father who cares for me. And in John chapter 12 and verse 44 and 45, you know, and I'm reading that to you from the Message also. Jesus summed it all up when he cried out, whoever believes in me, believes not just in me, but in the one who sent me. The fact that the one who sent me, I am light that has come into the world, so that all longer in the dark. And that's why Jesus said to Peter, have you been so long with me, Philip, and yet you don't know the Father, you don't know me. That's a good question that we ask ourselves, my brothers and sisters. What we are missing out. We're missing out on the real life that God has called you and me to share. Jesus came not just to die for your sins and mine and for the sins of the world. He came to reveal the Father to us. Not to everybody. He didn't come to reveal the Father to the world, to everybody, but to you and me, to those who believe. That's what he prayed in John chapter 17. You can look at it in verse 6. He says, I've manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours and you gave them to me and they have kept your word. I've manifested your name, your character to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours and you gave them to me and they have kept your word. That's what Jesus came for. He didn't just come to die for our sins and for the sins of the world. He came to manifest the Father. And not just, you know, exhibit Him, but to bring you and me into that relationship. That's what Jesus said in the beginning. I am the way, the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father through me. I cannot come into this relationship unless I come to Jesus. And the most wonderful thing that can ever happen to you and me is to be given to Jesus. He says, I manifested your name to the men and women also whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours and you gave them to me. They have kept your word. To be given to Jesus is the most wonderful thing that could ever happen to you and me in this life, my brothers and sisters. The most wonderful thing that can ever happen to a human being, to be given to Jesus. Because it's to them that He manifests the Father, not to everybody. And we've been given to Jesus. If you come, not just come to the church, not just come to the Bible, not just come to Christianity, but if you come to Jesus, then you've planted your feet in the way. And you have been given, and the most wonderful thing that has ever happened in your life and mine is to have been given to Jesus. Because then I can know God as my Father. That's what we see there. Very clearly. And this is God's, this was the purpose that Jesus came into the world, to reveal the Father to us. Yeah, and as we develop in the process, we don't present such a good image at times, and we may stumble many ways, we may fail, we may fall, but if we humble ourselves, instead of justifying ourselves and acting like hypocrites, like the religious leaders of His day, we don't live under a false image. We are not wanting to just give a good testimony to others. And we don't bother about our private life and how we live. And that's a sad thing. But just like Jesus that we have been given to Jesus. Do you know that God has also given you and me, some, for most of us, our children, so that we can manifest the Father to them? Like I said in the beginning, some of us may not have had a good childhood because of a good father. But if we have come to Christ, if we have come to Jesus, and we receive the Holy Spirit in our lives, and the Holy Spirit works in us, I can manifest my Heavenly Father to my children, to those whom God has given me. How is it, my brothers and sisters? How is it like the religious leaders of Jesus' day, Matthew chapter 23. He spoke about them. Jesus said about the religious leaders of His day to His disciples. He said this to His disciples, therefore all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. Isn't that a sad thing? I hope it's not like that. That our children and those who know us, see us, they say things, they do not do them. Don't be like them, Jesus said. Don't do like them. Observe all that they tell you. All that you hear them preach and teach, observe it. But don't do as they do, because they say things and they do not do them. Let it never be said of any of us. The way we live, that our children are the ones who know us, see us say things, and we don't do them. We can share some very profound things, but how do people see us? We may give the gospel to others, but how do they see us? Am I the gospel? Do they see the gospel in me? I speak about a Savior. I speak about a Heavenly Father. Do they see something of the character of the Father in your life and mine? Then we have found the way, my brothers and sisters. We have been given to Jesus. And those who have been given to Jesus, He said He will show us the Father. The Pharisees, they did everything to be noticed by men. How is it with us? They love to be honored. They love to justify themselves. That's one way that we know that we miss the way and we justify ourselves. And whatever reason or excuse I can give, oh, I was too tired, I was this, that's why. No. If I humble myself, I don't justify myself, I don't seek to preserve my testimony. I don't want anyone to credit me with more than what they see in me. Is that your intention? Oh, you're so careful about your testimony. I belong to CFC. So I've got to be careful. That's a very sad way to live. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You ever thought of this word? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. Paul speaks there, you know, about it. Good to mention. But he says, on behalf of such a man I will boast, but on my own behalf I will not boast except in regard to my weaknesses. For if I do wish to boast, I will not be foolish, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from this, so that no one, listen to this, so that no one will credit me with more than he sees in me or hears from me. This is the great apostle Paul. He says, I'll boast rather about my weaknesses, not about the great experience. People boast about so many things, how many times they fast, how many hours they spend in prayer, to give an impression to others. That people should know I'm a spiritual and that I'm a very spiritual sister, or I'm a very humble brother. And this is what I did in this situation, I humbled myself. I'm so concerned about my testimony. Paul says, he said, I'd rather boast about my weaknesses. He says, what other things I'd be speaking the truth, but I'd rather boast about my weaknesses, so that no one will credit me with more than he sees in me or hears from me. I sought to take that to heart. No one will credit me with more than he. Make that your ambition, my brothers and sisters. Then you can, it's very easy to be yourself. You can live naturally. You don't have to be like somebody else. God accepts us just the way we are, at the level we are. And He works with us and leads us if we are willing to be honest and humble about ourselves. And as we walk this way, we will bear the characteristics of our Father. We'll become more like our Father in heaven. That's what we'll manifest. You know, we see sometimes, you know, a father and a son, and you say, you know, he's a image of his father. He looks just like his father. Or the daughter looks, you know, she looks just like her mother. And physically, if that can be true, how much more spiritually? That as I get to know Jesus, as I get to know the Father, I will bear the characteristics of Him. People will see Christ, will see the Father in me, that I can have a Father's heart. And if God is my Father, I'll become more like Him. Just like physically a son is like his father, a daughter like the mother. And spiritually also it can be like that. And that's how it must be in your life and mine. To be honest about ourselves. It doesn't mean that we get up and speak about our defeats. We don't speak about our defeats and all our failures when we have to get up and testify. We give a false impression, oh, what a humble brother, what a humble sister. No, if you've got to speak, I said this before, speak in faith. Paul says there, 2 Corinthians 4:13. Remember this whenever you want to speak. Having the same spirit of faith, he says, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. So what can we get from that? If you do not believe, don't speak. If you believe, speak. We had a meeting. People get up and confess their hope or confess their faith. You don't have to get up here and speak about all your defeat and failure. Let that naked part be between you and God. You don't have to give a false impression to others that, you know, you made it. And, you know, that it's going well with you. Why do I have to impress the brothers and sisters? Let me be in the place where God has put me, in the stage, whatever stage of development and growth I'm in. And God will work with me. And like we read there in John chapter 17, verse 6, I want to read that to you from the Message Bible. He says, I spelled out your character in detail to the men and women you gave me. They were yours in the first place. Then you gave them to me. And they have now done beyond the shadow of a doubt that everything you gave me is first hand from you. For the message you gave me, I gave them, and they took it and were convinced that I came from you. They believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the God-rejecting world, but for those you gave me, for they are yours by right. Everything mine is yours, and yours is mine. We have been given to Jesus, and that's the most wonderful thing. And the other thing that we see there is that those who have been given to Jesus will be preserved. The Father preserves all whom He has given to Jesus. You know, and we see that there in what Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. John chapter 17 and He says, I am no longer in the world, yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, verse 11, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name which you have given me, and I guarded them, not one of them perish, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And in the Message Bible, it's so beautiful. It says, they are yours by right. Everything mine is yours and yours mine. And my life is on display in them. For I'm no longer going to be visible. Continue in the world. I return to you, Holy Father. Guard them as they pursue this life that you conferred as a gift through me. So that they can be one heart and one mind. As we are one heart and mind. As long as I was with them, I guarded them in the pursuit of the life you gave through me. I even posted a night watch. Not one of them got away, except for the rebel bent on destruction, the exception that proved the rule of Scripture. That's speaking of Judas Iscariot. I guarded them, Jesus said. And Jesus prayed, Father, keep them. Keep them from evil. Think of it, my brothers and sisters. What a life that we have been called to. God preserves all those He has given to Jesus. We are preserved. Like we were reminded, the eyes of the Lord are upon us from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. In everything, God watches over us. There are no mistakes, no accidents. Whatever may happen in your work spot, whatever may happen in your home, God is watching. He says, I like it in the Message Bible, I posted a night watch. Even what happens at night, the children can be sick. You can need some emergency treatment to know that God is there. I posted a night watch, and not one of them got away. Not one of them is lost. That's the life that God calls us to. We have a Father who preserves us. The apple of my eye. He sticks His finger in my eye. That's our Father. And that's the relationship that God calls us to. In John chapter 10, He says, you do not believe because you're not of my sheep. Jesus says this about people who don't belong to Him. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. There it is again. says, no one will snatch them out of my hand. To me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Do you live in that security? Are we always anxious? You know, some people are always paranoid, anxious. What will happen to my child? Or what will happen if I lose my job? Or what will happen if I have to shift, I have to move from this house and nowhere to go? And so many things. God preserves us. He preserves those He has given to Jesus. He preserves you and me, my brothers and sisters. And it says there that my sheep hear my voice and I know them. You know, that intimate relationship. And I give eternal life to them and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. There is an eternal security. It's not this once saved, always saved, and I can live as I like. There is an eternal security. If I know I belong to God, that God is my Father, I've been given to Him. And Jesus said that my Father was given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Have you thought of that? No one is able to snatch you out of Jesus' hand, and no one will be able to snatch you out of the Father's hand, because you've been given to Jesus. I hope this encourages you. I hope this brings a security in your life upon this earth, in whatever we have to face, whatever the future is, that we know that we are in Jesus' hand, that we are in the Father's hand. We've been given to Him. And those He has given to Jesus, He preserves. May that encourage you, may that challenge you, my brothers and sisters, to live more at rest and in peace without being anxious about the future, being anxious even regards our own spiritual life. If we are not yet overcomers, like I was saying, we don't give an impression that we made it. But we do convey that we are battling. That's something that our children should see. Don't give them an impression. Don't be like the Pharisees who say things and do not do them. Yeah, they see that mom and dad are also struggling. They are also battling. And then they see that we want to overcome. We are not to be like hypocrites. That's the worst thing that can ever happen. I want to give an impression to others. I want to give an impression to my children. And we put burdens upon them like the Pharisees did, not willing to lift it with one finger. May we manifest the Father to others. And it says in Hebrews chapter 1, I want you to look at that. It says, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers, in the prophets, in many portions, in many ways, in these last days, has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. And He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature. And so, you know, we see the Father in Jesus. As we get to know Jesus, we will get to know God as our Father. The Message Bible says the Son perfectly mirrors God and is stamped with God's nature. He holds everything together by what He says. Powerful words. And in another translation, it says, Son is the radiance of the glory of God, flawless expression of the nature of God. So if I want to know what the Father is like, that's what Jesus is saying to Philip. Have you been so long with me, Philip, and you don't know the Father? He who has seen me has seen the Father. A flawless expression of God the Father. And as we get to know Jesus, we will get to know our Father and become like Him. The last thing I want you to say is many people can just take those verses out of context, you know, after what we heard last Wednesday. So whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. A lot of people stop there. But he goes on, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father and he'll give you another helper that he may be with you forever. If you know the Father, one indication And once fine, we will see in our own lives that we seek to keep the commandments. If I have no desire to keep the commandments of Jesus, I have to question my relationship with Him. If we know the Father, we will seek to keep the commandments. What will I do so that the Father may be glorified in the Son? If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. That came to me as a real challenge last Wednesday. We can, you know, like we heard Brother Zach say, we can think about the material. I need something materially. And I can go to this verse. Jesus, you said, if I ask anything in your name, you will do it. You will give it. And we don't see that in its context. That if I ask anything, Lord, I want to keep your commandment. I'm asking you in this area of my life where I'm battling. That we can ask. And Jesus said that whatever you ask, that will I do. This is where the commandments of Jesus don't become burdensome. That when I see that I can get help, like we heard last Wednesday, if you were in the meeting, that the helper comes alongside me to help me to keep the commandments of Jesus. I don't have to strive. I don't have to be bent up under a... I never have that you believe in. If you... yoke that's upon you. The Holy Spirit comes, as Jesus said there, I'll ask the Father, He'll give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him, because He abides with you, and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. I will not leave you as orphans. We never need ever to feel orphaned. We never need to feel that. Not only help, I can ask, Lord, I want to keep this commandment, and whatever it is, Lord, I don't want to be irritated. I don't want to get angry. Have you ever prayed that way? Many times I've asked the Lord, Lord, I don't want to get angry. I want my tone of voice to change. Please help me. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. That lifts the burden. Jesus said that my burden is light. My yoke is easy. The Christian life is not a heavy life. We make it heavy because we seek to obey the commandments in the letter. We don't ask for help. Many people don't want to humble themselves and say, I need help. They are struggling, they have a problem in their marriage, but they don't want to ask for help. Jesus said, I'll send you another helper just like me. And He comes alongside us to help us. Because we are sons and daughters, my brothers and sisters. God is our Father. And I hope that we go here from here this morning knowing that we have a Father who cares for us. Who cares for us that we can live a life obeying all the commandments. And never feel that this is heavy. Never feel like those people in John chapter 6. This is a difficult statement. Who can bear it? And they left Him. They didn't walk with Him anymore. They went back to being believers. They gave up discipleship. Is that how you feel? Just be a believer. I'll come to the meetings. I'll do this. I'll do my... Because you don't see that you have a Father's heart. If you come into the way, Jesus said, no one can come to the Father except through me. If you've been given to Jesus, to know that you are preserved, that God watches over you, and everything concerning you, your family, your job, everything, your future, whatever may happen. I don't have to live in anxiety. I don't have to live in fear. That is our calling, my brothers and sisters. We have been adopted as sons and daughters. Romans chapter 8. We'll stop with that. It says, you have not received a spirit of slavery. Verse 15 to 17. You have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again or anxiety. But you have received a spirit of adoption as sons and daughters. By which we cry out, Dad, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. And again in Galatians in chapter 4, similar Galatians 4, because you are sons and daughters, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Dad, Abba, Father. You are no longer a slave, but a son and a daughter. And if a son or a daughter, then an heir through God. So I want you to see this morning that I can never really come into this intimate relationship with Jesus and with God as my Father without the Helper. I need the Helper. Jesus said, I go and I'll ask the Father to send you another Helper. One who comes alongside us to reveal the Father to us and to make us like Him. I hope that encourages you and challenges you. That's our calling. Not just to know Jesus as a Savior, but to know Him in such a way that I can know God as my Father and become like Him. And to see that that's all that I'm to be concerned about. Not just that, yeah, I'll come to church, I'll come to the meetings, I read my Bible, I pray, I fast, all these things. But you miss out and you don't know that you've got a Father. And you stand in eternity and the Father says to you, I just wanted you don't have such a relationship with me, but you missed out. You were happy with. May God help us. And really seek God that the Holy Spirit will reveal the Father to us. We'll be gripped in our hearts and live a life free from fear and anxiety. We are not slaves, sons and daughters. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can look up into your face and really call you Father, really call you Dad. Not just call you, but know you in an intimate way. So Lord, reveal to us the longing of your heart. You redeemed us not just to take us to heaven, but to manifest your character in our lives, like you manifest the character of the Father when you lived on this earth. And so help us, pour out your Spirit upon us. Thank you for the Helper who's come alongside us. We are not orphans here, we are not slaves, we are sons and daughters. And so help us to live this life that we can manifest you to others, and others will see your life through us, Lord Jesus. Bless us with your Spirit this morning, and thank the things of your word and reveal them to us, and that we may be gripped in our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
We want to sing this old song we sing in Sunday school. I'm so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love. He's given wonderful things in the Bible. I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me.